Morning.
Morning.
All right. Well, I have several announcements here. First of all, we want to welcome all of our guests with us this morning. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but let us... I'll embarrass at least Roland. Roland and Catherine, many of you, of course, will remember them, Bob and Edith Camp's kids. So, good to have you. And let's see. Other announcements. Sandy McCoy is at South, and somebody showed her how to get this church service on YouTube. So I told her we would say hello to her this morning at the start of the service. So Sandy, glad you're listening in. And as far as prayer updates go, we also want to pray for Jeanette. Now, we're going to have to do some, I'm going to do some serious changing in the service this morning. Jeanette went into the ER last night. So we're not going to have our organist this morning. And of course, we know Joy is recovering from surgery as well, so she won't be here. So we're going to do something different, basically jump around a little bit in the hymnal. I picked new hymns that I can lead a cappella, okay? So we're going to go ahead and do that. But we certainly want to keep Jeanette in our prayers. You know, she's been struggling with some health issues for a while. Cheryl, of course, in her upcoming test. Dina, a friend of ours who has some health issues. Now, for those of you who might be interested in supporting the LCMS disaster relief as it applies to the Maui fires, you have two options for giving if you'd like to do that. One is electronically, and the electronic will be matched by Thrivent. And the other is you can write a check to Trinity Lutheran, put Wildfire Fund, don't put in a regular offering plate, there's a basket out there, and we'll send that in to the LCMS Disaster Relief Wildfire Fund, which they're drawing from for the Maui disaster. Other announcements, we have the New Horizon concert coming up today, Saturday, September 30th, it's 6 p.m., still need a teacher for one of the adult Sunday school classes, and our ballot and voters meeting will be September the 17th. I think that will do it for announcements, and I thank you in advance for your patience, as we will be jumping around the hymnal a little bit this morning, okay? And so I invite you to turn to hymn number 803. This will be a little more directed than it usually is, a little more talking from the pastor to make sure we're all on the same sheet of music. So I invite you to turn to hymn number 803. And let's go ahead. And Jeff, you just came in. We don't have our organs today, so we're going to jump around. So let us join together in joyful song 803. Joyful, joyful be adoring God of glory.
Give her a reward.
Spirit, who whom God has given to those who obey him. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill him. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men, and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, they will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God." They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way in the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place he saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. And my duty to confuse you today, let's continue on page 260. In the hymn. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, let thy habitation on earth, and let us to your word dwell.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, let thy habitation on your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Let us read together the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his house, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
We confess the Christian faith and say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
At this time, I'm going to invite you to turn to hymn number 461. Hymn number 461. And we're going to go ahead and sing stanzas 1 and 4 of this hymn. Hymn number 461.
I know that my
no, I'm just joking. Okay.
There's one person who is dressed in a wolf costume with the Kansas City Chiefs shirt on, greeting the kids, and then up on stage in front of the church, taking a smoke machine and blowing smoke out over the congregation. Well, a man on video, a member on video, encouraged people online that they don't want to miss Pastor Craig's sermon. This is what he wrote, or this is what he said. Jesus used parables to tell stories in 30-second theology. Pastor Craig uses commercials to illustrate biblical truth. You don't want to miss it. You know, sermon illustrations are one thing, right? But having Barbie or Super Bowl commercials as the text for your sermon and as the theme for the worship service as a whole is another matter altogether. It shows that the preachers are really smarter than God, because God has just given us His Word and the sacraments. We need something better than Word and sacraments. Don't we? Of course not. By the way, these churches I talked about, these are churches that believe that God's Word is His Word. But they preach commercials and they preach movies. They don't trust God's Word to do its work and cause God-pleasing growth. The Bible is held up in theory, but not in practice. And by the way, these churches are successful, right? These churches draw people in. I mean, look at our church. We got wonderful people. But not a huge crowd. And not all that young. But these churches, they do it right, don't they? As a matter of fact, they draw many people from denominational churches, Baptists and Lutherans and Catholics, into their church. But listen, their success is another sign of the sickness in the American church. It is not an ascendancy. It is not a height. It is a decline, where the church is just in another step leading to death. Because now it's something other than the Word that takes center stage. All right. Now, as bad as that is in their evangelism techniques and trying to draw people in, you know, it doesn't mean, though, that a church doing nothing is more righteous. You know, if you have a congregation of believers that are not engaged in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is not more holy. That, too, is a terrible oversight. I like the way one pastor put it. He says, if you aren't witnessing, then what? Why are you here? Why does God leave you here on this earth? Because this is a key purpose that God has given to each one of us. You are here to make disciples, because God uses Christians to make Christians through the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, are you fulfilling that key purpose in your life? How does that look in your day-to-day walk? Now, the title for today's sermon is Evangelism in the Apostolic Church. It's going to go a whole other direction, but we're going to save that for next Sunday. We're going to stay in this text for two Sundays. So today we're going to focus down on that evangelism, and the sermon's going to have two parts. First of all, I want to see four elements of evangelism in the early Christian church that we see here in chapter 5. Three of them are still applicable to us today. And then finally, I just want to go through an evangelism handle, an evangelism method. Because I don't want you leaving here saying, well, how do I evangelize? Well, I'm going to put some tools in your hands, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Even without music, your Spirit is here, your gifts are here, Jesus is here, the Holy Spirit is leading us.
We have your word. We have your sacrament. And so, Father, we pray, fill us. Change us, mold us, forgive us, renew us. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, so four elements of evangelism we have in the text. As a matter of fact, if you'd be so kind, have the text open in the bulletin. This is the Acts reading. Now I'm starting actually from Acts chapter 5, verse 11. It's not in your bulletin. The next verses will be. Because remember, what are we carrying on from? Last Sunday, we looked at Ananias and Sapphira. And we see how God judges them, and God sets up the requirement for a pure church. And I would say that is an element of the evangelism that we see here, the life and the purity of believers in the church. And so in verse 11, right after this Ananias and Sapphira incident, it says, "And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things." Ananias and Sapphira. And then let's go ahead and read together those verses 12 to 14. "At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them, however the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their numbers." Now, look, it's a little difficult to put together for me, maybe not for you, difficult to understand the end of verse 13 and then verse 14, because verse 13 says, "The rest did not dare associate with them." And then verse 14 says, "Men and women were constantly being added to their number." So, Luke doesn't give us the detail about, in verse 13, who are the rest of these? What people is he talking about specifically? But I would say this, there are two reactions to what has happened with Ananias and Sapphira and the teaching and everything else that goes with it. One reaction was this, and that is verse 13. And I think what's going on here is that They separated themselves a bit from the Christians. I think they're talking about the gathering of the Christians at Solomon's portico, if you read the context. The non-Christians respectfully keep their distance, right? Because if you're a hypocrite in that crowd, you're not going to want to join the Christians as a hypocrite after Ananias and Sapphira. Well, that's great. That's great evangelism, isn't it, Pastor? That sounds like the opposite of evangelism. No, it isn't. And certainly, you don't have harassment of the Christians while they're at Solomon's portico gathered together. Now, that's going to eventually happen, but not now. And you won't have people joining the church because it's the new and exciting and wonderful thing. There's a seriousness to people belonging together in the church that was emphasized by what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. And yet, there was plenty enough contact, in other ways, with the apostles and with other Christians that many people were coming to faith. Again, this is all flowing from Ananias and Sapphira. That's critical. That's right there, added to all the other things that we see going on. The purity of the church affected the reaction to the church. I was reading a commentator from Sri Lanka. He's a pastor out there. And he wrote this. "The most common objection to Christianity among the Buddhists in Sri Lanka is that we have a cheap religion. Christians, they say, can live any life of impurity and then receive forgiveness and happily go back to their impure life. It was a pure church that God was establishing.
And we know that the basis of that purity, because we've said it before, what is the basis of that, the foundation of that purity? It's forgiveness. But then, from that flows sanctification of life. Purity has effects on evangelism. Impurity will chase people away. And if it brings them in, then it's bringing them in to a church in which there is a worldly spirit instead of the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we ought not do is to live in self-righteousness, because that's not holiness, that's not purity. Because every single one of us knows that we have a battle day to day between the new person in Jesus Christ and also this body of flesh. Right? Now, if you don't have that battle, talk to me after church, because I'd love to meet with you, and maybe we will worship you or something. I don't know, because you obviously are holier than everybody else. We all struggle with sin, but that should not become a reason to live willfully in impurity. Rather, we move forward under the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And that will speak to the community. There's a second item in regards to their evangelism, and that is simply that of miracles. Miracles were important because they testified to the authority of the apostles and to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But, you know, miracles didn't happen all the time in the Bible. We get that sense, but it just wasn't the case. Miracles happen around key people like Moses and Jesus, the prophets and apostles, and key events like the Exodus, like the ministry of Jesus and so forth. And we ought not bemoan, hey, we don't have miracles like they had in yesteryear. If we had that, everybody would believe. Well, that's not the case. Number one is the church grew rapidly even after the time of these amazing miracles. And secondly, seeing does not necessarily equal believing. Remember the people of Israel in the Old Testament when God had released them from slavery in Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness, they're at the Sinai. What do they have Aaron make? Golden calf. After all the amazing things that they had seen and were seeing, and after their great deliverance by the hands of God, not the hands of men, they worship at the golden calf. They get up in their sexual reveille of pagan worship, and their hearts are far from. Anyways, there's a third item that we also see in regards to evangelism in Acts chapter 5. Let's turn and look at verses 19 and 20 together. Okay, so all the apostles have been thrown in jail. And then verse 19 says, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you, rather than God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking.'" Excuse me. Yeah, "we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard." And earlier, which is the text I wanted to focus on, when the angel releases them. Yeah, I read the wrong verse, wrong chapter. My apologies. Let's read it together. "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, 'Go stand and speak to the people of the temple the whole message of this life.'" Right? This life in capital letters here, because it's the life that is in Jesus. But notice what the angel says. "Go stand and speak." Go stand and speak. And what did the apostles do? Because now we're not just talking about Peter and John, as we did in chapter 4. This is all the apostles that are wrapped up into this. Go stand and speak. That's exactly what they did. And they did that often right there in the temple. Evangelism, and this third point is this, evangelism must be proactive. But we can't just sit and hope that people will talk to us and ask us about Jesus. Some of you have maybe heard of the Babylon Bee. It's a satire, it's Christian satire. And in one of their satire articles, it was entitled Evangelism Report. Evangelism Report. And the heading was this: despite Susan saying God bless you every time someone sneezes, co-workers still haven't asked her about her faith. Right? If we sit back hoping that someone might ask us, or hoping that nobody asks us, well then, that sharing of the gospel isn't going to happen. We need to be proactive and make opportunities for sharing the gospel. And by the way, a real easy way to do that is when somebody's sharing with you their troubles or some sort of trouble or some sort of problem, some sort of heartache thing, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to listen sincerely and empathetically. But when you have a time to respond, certainly one of the responses can simply be this: let me tell you something or someone that has helped me. Right? An easy entrance into speaking about Jesus and hearing from people at the same time. There's a fourth matter as well in their evangelism, and it's simply this: that they continued constantly to teach about Jesus. So, in verse 21, what does it say? Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Verse 25, but someone came and reported to them, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Verse 28, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name. Verse 42, and every day in the temple from house to house, they kept on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Why teach about Jesus? Why not just have your Super Bowl, you know, Super Sunday, or your Barbie Super Sunday? Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. You can gather a crowd in many different ways. There is only one way to be saved. It's the gospel way. It's the Jesus way. It's the good news that he has taken our sins upon himself. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, Spurgeon, writing about this, an English preacher of old, says, many, or rather, may none of you fail fully to realize the state in which all human beings are naturally found, unless you have a very clear sense of the utter ruin and spiritual death, you will be incapable of being made a blessing to them. Go to them, I pray you, not as sleepers, they as sleepers, whom you can by your own power awaken from their slumber, but as a spiritual corpse who can only be quickened by power divine, by the gospel itself. And when we understand that the unbeliever is spiritually dead, not born again, one, that frees us from a certain weight, right? Because we're not the saviors. God is. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel, the sacraments, to bring faith to our hearts. And it affirms to us that it's the gospel that needs to get out. It's the news, the good news about Jesus. Not Barbie, not TV commercials. So So what I'd like to do now is simply go over what's on the back of your bulletin. And this is unnatural because this isn't a conversation, it's just me talking. You know, we've already talked about the several different methods or handles that you can use to share the gospel. And the reason I bring them up in the sermon is so that you can use them. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have to. You can simply give the hope that is within you. Right? You can have a simple conversation of the hope that is within you. Methods can help. Handles can help. And so we looked at the gift analogy many months ago. We looked at using the Ten Commandments in order to awaken the sinner of their need of forgiveness. We even talked about, I think it was last Sunday, the do versus done. Very quick thing. You don't have time to talk. You're in an elevator. Do versus done. You know, all human religion is about do to gain your salvation. Christianity is about done, what Jesus has done to save us. We looked at the three circles many weeks ago. We'll bring that back up when we hit Acts chapter 26. Again, we'll bring that up. But today, it's just using the analogy, or rather the word faith, as an acronym. And you know, you're talking to somebody and you can ask them, why do you think people will go to heaven? Well, Pastor, I couldn't do that. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Why do you think people go to heaven? Listen. Get insight into their life. Well, can I share with you why I expect to go to heaven? Yes or no, let's say. And if they say yes, you have an open door. Well, let me just use faith as an acronym here. And the F is for forgiveness. In other words, there's a need that every single person has living in the world. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the person that sins will die, which is not only physical death, but ultimately it's eternal death as well. And so we all have a need for forgiveness, no matter who we are. A is for available. In other words, that forgiveness is available for everyone. And Jesus tells us that himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Whoever! That means you. Matter of fact, I could put your name in there. Susan. For God so loves Susie that he gave his only begotten Son, so that if Susie believes in Jesus as her Savior from sin, Susie shall not perish, but Susie shall have eternal life. I is for impossible. And that is, we can't achieve this forgiveness. We can't earn it. And that's the religion of mankind, fallen mankind. They always want to earn heaven. They always want to earn their forgiveness by how good they are. But the Bible tells us this, for by grace, that's God's undeserved kindness, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So there's no room for us to boast because we can't achieve forgiveness. We can't earn heaven. T is for turn. And that is a necessity of the life in Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus told us, I tell you, but unless you repent, you too will perish. So repent means to turn. We're called to turn from our sin and agree with God, with what God says about that sin, but then turn to Jesus in faith. Turn to the solution to our problem. That is, one day we will all stand before a holy and righteous and just God. We will not be judged by other sinners. We will be judged by him who has no sin at all, but is filled with love for us that he's given in Jesus Christ. Turn to Jesus. And what has Jesus done? Well, he's taken the penalty of your sin. That's what the cross was about. And he rose in victory. so that you too can rise one day at his coming. And then H is for heaven. Heaven is not just the place we go to, but it's not that we just go to heaven. It's that we also go to Father, our eternal Father, our heavenly Father. Jesus promised us that when he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. That's a little involved. Pastor, I can't remember that. Sure you can. You put a little work and a little practice into it. But again, methods you don't have to use. They can be helpful. At the very least, you give, which is not a small thing. You give the hope that you have, the hope that comes from your Savior, who loves you, and died for you, and rose for your victory. And you know that's a good thing. That's loving your neighbor. But what do we hear by Jesus in the gospel reading this morning? He had someone who wanted to earn his salvation. I've kept these laws. How can I be saved? Well, you want a due answer? Jesus gives him a due answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Who does that? Who does anybody seeing themselves with sane vision will know that they may want to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, but the actual accomplishment of that and loving your neighbor as yourself is deficient. But Jesus is not. Jesus is not. He's not deficient for us, for our salvation. He's not deficient. He's done it all. So, are you fulfilling a key purpose for your existence? God uses Christians to make Christians through the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what? When you see that good news working in someone's life, it is awesome. I invite you to turn to page 194 in your hymnal. We're going to continue with our prayers, then we'll have the presentation of the offering, and then we will have a confession. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord God, we exalt you, we bless your name forever and ever. Every day we will praise your name. Great is the Lord. Your greatness is unsearchable, even if the secrets of the universe would be uncovered. You remain too deep, too great, too vast to grasp. And yet we thank you for the revelation of your mind and heart in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, God, fulfill your purposes in us. Remind us that we are not our own, that we belong to the Lord. Use us as your instruments to bring the good news of Jesus to the lost. Help us to be courageous and loving people, to be proactive and share the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, dear Lord, your Son has told us that that there would be wars and rumors of wars until his coming. Humanity is bent against the commands: steal, kill, murder, and destroy. Save us from ourselves, break the bow and shatter the spears, and especially we pray that you would bring peace to Ukraine, Russia, and a just peace also in various places in Africa. Move hearts to believe in Jesus more than they lust for conquest. Lord, in your mercy, give us the wisdom, Lord, not to unnecessarily stir up dissension in our church, communities, and families by being fleshly. We raise holy hands in prayer without anger and quarreling in this place. Teach us the discipline of loving our neighbor, and forgive us, for we have fallen short. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, wherever the wicked strip and wound, wherever the devil seeks our fall, you meet us with healing and grace to endure. We pray that you would soothe and lift up those who are ill, especially Jeanette, Zena, Dina, Dick, Trudy, Jeff, Gabe, Kathy, Cheryl, and Vicki, and those we mention in our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
This time we'll have the presentation of the offerings. This time we proceed with confession. Please pray along with me silently. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are a sinful people. We have sinned terribly and repeatedly. We confess that our repentance is never perfect in this life, nor have we outgrown our need for your forgiveness. We confess that our sins are not just external and easily seen, but also hidden in our hearts where only you see clearly. You know the various faults that can plague us, like spiritual blindness, greed, jealousy, anger, hate, discontent, impatience, arrogance, lust, strife, pride, and unwillingness to forgive, lack of faith, and lack of submission to your will. We are sorry for these and all our sins of thought, word, and deed. We desire your grace in Christ that we would be forgiven. And we plead, Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we may walk in your ways. Sanctify our hearts, that our lives, as imperfect as they are, would bring glory to your name. We confess privately and silently. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to stand, and we continue on page 194. We will speak the liturgy. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead and put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy,
holy, holy, Lord God of Israel, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
And let us all pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Just do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Speak the Agnus Dei. O Christ, thou Lamb of God,
that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace.
I invite you to turn to page 555, and we'll sing in a moment. We'll sing stanzas 1 to 4 of hymn 555.
Before you're ushered forward, let's get a little bit of the singing in.
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot convert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer.
What God did in His law demand, and none to Him could render. God's wrath and woe on every hand, for man the vile offender. Our flesh has not those pure desires the Spirit of the law requires. Is our condition. It was a false misleading dream that God is already given, that sinners could themselves redeem, and by their works gain heaven.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, a life everlasting. Depart. I invite you to turn to hymn 537. 537.
Thank you.
invite you to stand and speak together for the non-minutes. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. 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 Please remain standing and invite you to turn to hymn number 805.
Praise God.
Please let us get to know you a little bit after the service.